Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call, 323-870-3857. Beeb, it's show number 400. 400, my man. That's a lot. Yep, that's a lot.
That's a lot of shows.
A lot of shows, right? A lot of shows, man. And unfortunately, it came with a week. There's nothing going on, but that's okay. Hey, we dealt with COVID. We dealt with the dog days of summer. We can deal with this. Tonight, we're going to be talking about one of the biggest fights in the UK this year, Ben versus Eubank, Conor Ben, Chris Eubank Jr. But first, we're going to get started with the fights that happened this weekend. Not a whole lot. I don't know that any of them were really televised. Luis Nery was the biggest name, so we'll go Luis Nery wins the third-round TKO over David Carmona. I believe the fight took place in Tijuana, and again, I don't think it was televised at all. There might have been a few others out there that were, you know, that were televised or whatever that, you know, we missed, but nothing major going on. So there you go. So with that, let's talk about the upcoming fights next week. So here we go. October 8th, Carson, California. Sebastian Fundora versus Carlos Ocampo. 12 rounds for Fundora's WBC interim junior middleweight title. Gabriel Fundora versus the dreaded TBA, or Gabriela Fundora. Is that his, that must be his sister, no?
Sister, yeah.
Yeah, and she's fighting the dreaded TBA. Nobody cares. Carlos Adames versus Juan Macias Montiel for the vacant WBC interim middleweight. What is going on with the interim titles here, B?
Christ.
What is going on with this? Seriously. How is Fernando Martinez versus Jerwin Anacajas, 12 rounds for Martinez's IBF junior bantamweight title. That's a good fight. Edges Cavaluskas versus Michael Fox, 10 rounds welterweights. Not a bad card. That's a good card. And that should be on, that's a PBC, so it should be on like, I would say Fox or something like that. It'll be on one of those, so we'll be able to catch it.
You get the Fox show?
Fox or Showtime, one or the other, yeah, something like that. The big one, October 8th, London, on the zone, Chris Eubank Jr. versus Conor Ben, 12 rounds, junior middleweights, Mary Romero versus Ellie Scottney. That's the co-main? That's the co-main? Give me a break. Felix Cash versus Connor Coyle. Galliafi versus Gohan Rodriguez. Why not put him up there? Why not put him in the co-main? You know? Eddie Hearn made some crazy choices sometimes, man. Crazy, crazy choices. Listen, what's that?
Self-proclaimed best promoter in boxing.
Yeah, about that. Those two chicks, Mary Romero, Ellie Scott, you ever heard of these girls? You ain't heard of them, son. You ain't, don't even try to act like you're a proponent of women's boxing now. Oh, yeah, I can't miss a fight now.
The women, man.
I support women. It's not women boxing. That's what it is.
Please.
I'd rather watch something else. I don't know.
Show some respect.
I don't watch women's ping pong either.
You don't watch ping pong in general.
What's the difference?
You don't watch water polo either. We don't talk about that either. So
what, does that make me a sexist because I don't like, you know, female water polo?
He's very narrow-minded, in my opinion.
You like water polo, huh?
Watch during the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. The wind-up. Next week in Australia, all right, next week or 2 weeks from now, excuse me, on October 15th, Devin Haney versus George Gambosos Jr. for Haney's undisputed lightweight championship. And I got to be honest, I can't see any way Gambosos beats him.
I don't. I just don't see it.
And then ESPN Plus has an all-girls card that night. So there you go, Beeb. I mentioned it. Clarissa Shields. Yeah, all-girls card. Happy now? All right.
Who are you liking that? Who are you liking that one, Clarissa, or you like Savannah?
I don't know. Clarissa. Clarissa, let's do that.
Wow.
What?
No enthusiasm at all. That's one of the best cards of the year.
The all-female card? The all-female, that's one of the best cards of the year?
Yeah, you got Mikaia Mayer versus Alicia Baumgartner, and she's beautiful, Baumgartner.
Well, yeah. Well, are they going to do a swimsuit competition, or are you putting gloves on?
Please.
What are they doing? I'm asking questions.
Please.
I'm just asking questions.
Show some respect to these women. Put their lives on the line. We don't even care.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. How many KOs Clarissa Shields got?
I don't know, two. Savannah Marshall got it.
I don't think Clarissa Shields got any knockouts.
Got two.
Does she? You better box wreck that, son. I don't think she has any knockouts.
Please, stop diminishing everybody.
D-Style, thank you so much. He said, forget win, but it can Gambosos do better or will he do worse? Talk about that for a minute, man. I think that I think he gets washed in this fight. I think
Shut
it's
up.
Worse than the last fight. I don't think there's anything he can do. I don't think there's anything – put it this way. I don't think there's anything he can do. I don't think there's anything he's going to do to beat Haney this fight. He's not capable of beating Devin Haney. That's the bottom line. He's not capable.
It's a whole different story when you're fighting someone who doesn't have a broken esophagus. That's the key here. If I'm being honest. Devin Haney didn't let the mountain punch him in the chest. All right?
Oh.
Devin Haney's got his house in order. All right? He's not going through shit. So it's a different story, man.
Well, what about Gambosos? He's not – I mean, what's he going through? He didn't get hit by the mountain.
Well, I mean, he's doesn't have the ability of Devin Haney. Some people have it. Some people don't. You know what I mean?
Who wins the Shield Savannah Marshall fight? Whoever makes a better sandwich. Oh, my writer's on here. I love you guys, man. I love you guys.
That's all I can say.
Dwayne said he'd watch a swimsuit competition.
Please.
Love
Dwayne.
It. Love it.
Now you corrupt everyone.
Alicia, okay, so Toby Bartlett is saying that Alicia, is it Baumgartner? What's her name?
Stop pretending you don't know who their names are now.
I don't follow her. But he's saying she's a model, too. She'll knock you out while you admire her. You got to ask yourself, man, because there's got to be more money in modeling than this, right? Am I right?
Like, Katie Taylor makes seven figures.
Not modeling.
No, boxing.
Yeah, I was going to say, she doesn't make it modeling. Have you seen her? She's a nice girl and everything, but I mean,
you wouldn't take her on a date?
Who?
Katie
married, Taylor. Sir. And even if I wasn't married, no, I wouldn't take her out on a date. No, I wouldn't. She doesn't
take her out. She's got a cute little schoolgirl, like home.
Would you take her to the massage parlor with you?
Please.
I'm asking.
Why you can?
Man,
why
I'm asking questions. Why do I don't understand why I can't ask things. I can't find out more.
Katie Taylor doesn't belong in a massage parlor. Come on.
Why not?
Please.
Why not? So she can't get a massage? Oh, and I'm sexist? She can't get a massage now? Because only guys can go in there, right? That's messed up. That's messed
very
up.
It's very discreet what goes on in those massage parlors.
That's messed up.
Those women have a right to their privacy.
Can a, what is this? Can a buy for men? Can a buy for men? I don't know. He says, don't worry, they wouldn't date you anyways. You know what? You're right, because I'm married, son. Happily married. What's the matter with you people? What's the matter with you? Come on.
Please.
Come on. All right. Beeb, let's talk about the big fight this weekend. Let's get into it. Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank Jr. Beeb, I got to tell you, I don't know. This is pointing, you know, where, you know, I don't know. This is, you know, this is not, apparently this is a huge deal. Team Batman posted up earlier, this is a huge deal in England. They're making a huge deal over it. Beeb, it seems like a mismatch to me. The fight is going to take place at 157 pounds. I may be a little late on this news, but apparently Eubank Sr. is not training Eubank Jr., which he was training without anybody for the longest time.
He's being trained by Roy Jones for the last couple of fights.
Yeah.
I guess Roy Jones will not be present for this fight. He said he's training himself for this fight, where before he used to train himself too. He never had a trainer for a lot of his fights. He used to hire corner men to work the corner for him, like do his cuts or whatever, and provide the spit bucket and stuff like that. But he, for the longest time, he never really had an official trainer in a lot of his fights, which I never could figure out.
Right.
Sometimes his dad would be there just as a motivator, like just to support him. But like I said, he's never really had a consistent trainer in his corner. So I don't know who's going to be in the corner, if there's even going to be a trainer for this fight. I don't know. I'm curious to see who shows up the night of the fight, who's going to be there. I'm sure his father is going to be there, but will he be in the corner? I don't know. He's saying that his father isn't going to be in the corner. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out come Saturday.
It really will, because and I don't care who's in Eubank's corner. I mean, he's never had a steady trainer.
Never, never. It's gotten by solely, for the most part, in my opinion, on athletic ability.
Yeah, I agree.
Natural gifts. You know, he's a very explosive guy. He's a very athletic guy. Always looked to be in great shape. Really conditioned himself pretty well. Took care of himself over the years. You're seeing with eating KFC now and eating hamburgers. But
did you see this on a social media account? He's eating like hamburgers. He's eating, you know, I mean, now again,
cake,
it could be just
cake.
Tricks. Huh?
Yeah. He's eating cake now too.
Yeah, it could just be all tricks, in the sense that, you know, maybe he takes a bite. You know what I mean? And they don't show.
Well, what people don't realize too, people look at food and they say, oh, this is trash. It's all about calories in, calories out. I mean, if you're not overeating your calories, then if you eat a piece of cake or you eat a hamburger or whatever, it's not going to push you over the edge. You know, the problem is with some of these foods is they're very calorie dense. And you can eat, it's hard sometimes when you have a bucket of fried chicken to only eat one or two pieces, because sometimes the taste is so good that it kind of triggers people, and people can eat like six or seven pieces of fried chicken. And before you know it, you know, that's about 6,000 calories right there in a whack. So,
yeah. Centurion says, do I like Chris Eubank Sr. style? Chris Eubank Sr. is my hero. Are you kidding me? This is the best guy ever. The best guy ever, man. He goes and corners his, you know, when he was cornering his son in a tuxedo. Got to be the best dressed guy ever, no? Come on.
I love
you got to give him the dab. You got to give him his dab.
Got to give him the credit.
That's it. So the fight will take place at 157. The rehydration clause is only 5 pounds after the weigh-in. So the next morning you can only weigh 5 pounds more. So they've really put this rehab. That's a big deal. So they want to focus Eubank. If I was in this camp, focus more on losing weight than actually cutting that weight. Because if you cut that weight, you're going to gain it right back. You know, you're that weight for just, you know, a minute or two. That's pretty much it. Well, as soon as you step off that scale, you're never weighing that again. You know, so they've got to focus him more on losing weight than actually cutting that weight, because that's tough, man. Conor Benn usually fights at 147, Beeb. Chris Eubank fights at 168. Is this a – I mean, what is this? This is a huge – to me, I'm looking at this on paper. This is 20 pounds, two weight classes. This is a huge mismatch here. Am I missing something? That's three weight classes.
Yeah. They're trying to say that Conor Benn walks around at like 170, 172-ish or something
like that. I don't care.
That.
I don't care. That doesn't work. That stuff does not fly with me.
Yeah, I agree, because it all depends on who you're – like. Again, if you and I are going to perform in a athletic competition,
right?
We're going to get in shape. We're not going to look like we look now. Our body is going to be competition ready after our preparation.
Right.
So, what we are now, or what we are when we're sitting on the couch, lying on a beach, I agree, it's irrelevant. Eddie Hearn is trying to say, oh well, you know, he's 170 something pounds. He rehydrates for this. Blah 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 blah.
He's not in shape when he's walking around like that. He's not in fighting shape when he's walking around like that.
You're not competition ready.
Right.
When you're in at that weight.
Big difference.
I'm sure. You know, Eubank Jr. doesn't look like a guy who carries a lot of weight regardless. I would suspect, just by looking at Eubank Jr., he may walk around at 175 pounds. You know what I mean? He may not be that big of a guy. You know, some of these middleweights, they walk around at like 185, 190. He doesn't really look to me to be that type of guy. He doesn't look like he's a gigantic, heavy guy in between fights. He always looks in shape walking around. It never looks like he's sloppy. He's the type of guy that likes to keep himself in condition. He exercises regularly. So, you know, I don't even think this guy has to have a fight to want to exercise and stay in shape. So
that's true. You know. That's true. And, you know, both these guys really do look in shape. They don't look out of shape at all, even like out of, you know, when you see him outside
of the ring. Yeah, they took care of themselves outside of the ring.
But you take a look at Eubank, and he's muscled up. How's he going to lose 10 pounds, you know, 11 pounds or whatever it is? Yeah, about 11 pounds there. I mean,
yeah,
that's a tough ask.
We have to ask.
But he's got zero fat on his body, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a lean, lean guy.
Very
people
lean.
Can say, he weighs in at 159 with the extra 2 pounds. Yeah, but when he's weighing in at that 159, he's stripped down to bare bones.
Yeah.
There's not much more you can squeeze off him. So where are you going to get the other 2 pounds? It's going to come somewhere where it's not going to be comfortable. You know what I mean? It's going to be hard. There's no question about it. And the rehydration clause is going to be even harder, because you're going to bed. You know, you're weighing in that day, and you can only put on 5 pounds. Shit, I can eat a meal and put on 5 pounds. So when these guys are trying to, you know, replenish themselves after being stripped down, it's pretty easy to probably put on 10 to 12 pounds.
Of
but you can only
water. Look how much water they're going to drink. You know what I mean? Like, just afterwards, because they're going to be dry.
So he can only put on 5 pounds. So my question is, does he make the weight? Because if he doesn't make the weight, Conor Benn reserves the right to pull out of the fight. It's in the contract that if he doesn't make the weight, he can pull out of the fight. I'm not so sure what the situation is with the rehydration clause. So does he make the weight the day before the fight, then the next morning kind of blow off the rehydration clause?
Okay, so let's go there, all right? Because, you know, what happens if Eubank comes in overweight? You know, does the fight go on? You know, if I was Ben's manager, he wouldn't be in this fight. But I wouldn't let the fight happen if he comes over. But what are the odds that fight's going to happen if he comes in overweight? You know what I mean? They're going to fight. I mean, you got a whole stadium full of people there. That fight's going to happen.
Yeah. That's the thing. There's so much money on the line. Conor Benn allow Chris Eubank to pay the penalty if he is overweight and just go through with the fight?
Yeah. Well, of course. It's probably going to be his biggest payday ever. And it might even be both guys' biggest payday ever. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am Dwayne. I believe you. He says Ben ain't pulling out. He'll fight him anyway. I agree. I agree. But it's not really, you know, he's got to really trust his handlers on this one, though, if that's the case. Okay, so can a buy for men? He says he blows the rehydration. He gets penalized $100K per pound, if I recall. All right.
All right. If you're guaranteed $5 million,
well,
give up a couple hundred thousand. Is that going to break the bank?
And I'm curious to see if he comes in on weight and how much he comes in over, if that's the case. Yeah, I don't know.
I think the biggest challenge, Eric, is not the weigh-in. It's the rehydration after. The rehydration clause the day after.
Because
they're going to weigh you at 9 in the morning, I think. I think it's 9 in the morning they're going to weigh in, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, I think someone told me the second day weigh-in, I think, is going to be at 12 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to double check that. If anyone in the if anyone has, I could probably Google it after the show. I can Google it now, but I'll probably Google it after the show. But if anyone knows offhand, I think it was Lady Chan. I could be wrong here, but I think during the show she said that the rehydration clause was 5 pounds, and it was 12 o'clock the next day. If anyone knows the specifics on that, please drop the info in the chat, because I'm curious to see what the actual conditions are to that rehydration clause.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I'd be real interested. I'd be real interested in that. Let's break this fight down, Beeb. Let's, you know, we got speed, power, boxing ability, the X factor. Let's start up with speed. To me, I think this is a no-brainer. I think that you have to give the edge to speed to counter Ben. Both guys are quick, don't get me wrong. Counter Ben is lighter. It seems to me that he would be the better of the two, the faster of the two.
See, this is very interesting to me. And I'll say this. I think Conor Ben has quicker feet. I would argue that Ben may have quicker hands. Ben's got very quick hands. I mean,
Eubank,
I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep saying
he's
Ben.
Very fast. He's a really quick guy.
I think Ben has quicker feet. I think Eubank Jr. may have quicker hands.
Who would you give the edge to in speed?
Because of that, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm gonna give it an even. I'm gonna say it's dead even.
I give the nod to Ben there. Power. I think this is just a foregone conclusion. Eubank Jr. He's got destructive power. He's got some power. Both guys do, but you're talking about 168 versus 147 here. He's been knocking out 168s. You know what I mean? It's tough for me to say that, you know, he's going to have the same type of power. It's just not in the cards. You know what I mean? It's not doable. So I would give it to Eubank. I'm assuming.
I would give it to Eubank,
Same thing. Boxing ability here. I like the way that they brought Ben up. I think Ben has been brought up more naturally than Eubank Jr. I think they've taken their time with him. I think they've got a good fighter here. This is why I hate this fight's happening. I mean, this guy can really look at championship fights and everything. He's got that right. He's right there. He's right on the cusp of that, of being a big name at that division. Eubank Jr., you know, he doesn't have trainers. He's had trainer problems. He's had this. He's had that. Boxing ability for me, I got to go with Conor Ben on this one.
I agree. I would give the edge to Ben as well. And he looks like he's progressing very, very well. You know, he's showing a lot of versatility, showing something new every fight out. The improvement is there. And he's finding some solid guys too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he absolutely is. And this is, you know, like I said, they brought him up the right way. They haven't rushed him. They haven't, you know, looked for gimmick fights for him. I mean, they brought him up the right way. They've done a great job with it.
I agree.
The X factor here for me, got to be the weight, right? I mean, you're looking at 20, 21 pounds. You know, like they fight different weight classes. Now they're going to collide at 157. That's still 10 more pounds that Ben's got to put on. You've never been in a fight with 10 extra pounds like that. And then, you know, not this long, as it's a 12-round fight. I'm assuming it's a 12-round fight. You know, you put on this weight. How are you gonna operate with this extra weight that you've never had to carry? That's something that always gets overlooked. Well, they can train, they can eat more, they can blah, blah, blah. I getcha. But when it comes to that cardio, when it comes to that conditioning, and now you've got to carry 10 more pounds on the night of the fight. Now you've got to carry 10 more pounds. How are you going to do that? You know, a lot of people, they get tired because they have to carry that extra weight because it's not something they're used to carrying. So the weight, for me, is a big X factor here, and I got to push that in the direction of Eubank.
You're saying the weight for this fight is going to favor Eubank, the size. Yeah.
Size will definitely favor Eubank.
So you're not concerned at all that the three pounds, the 157 and the rehydration clause isn't going to have an effect on Eubank? Or do you think that it's not going to really matter, the sacrifices he's making?
I don't really think it's going to matter. I'll be honest. I don't think it's going to matter.
You think the weight conditions, regardless, aren't really going to mean anything because he's still going to be so much bigger than Ben the night of the fight?
Yeah, the night of the fight, he's going to be a lot bigger, and he's going to be a lot stronger. Either way, he's going to be stronger. He's just a bigger guy. He's going to be stronger. And, again, man, I just think that, like I said, the weight is going to favor Eubank a lot more than it'll favor Ben. Because again,
I'm going to be honest.
Ben is used to fighting a certain weight.
I think I'm going to agree with you because Ben has to put on a lot more weight, and he's going to have to, like, the 157 is closer to 160 than it is 147, right? So Ben is going to be like, he's going to be fighting 10 pounds heavier, where Chris Eubank's only going to be fighting 2 pounds because he weighs in at usually 158, 150, 159, right?
Yeah.
So he's only going to be fighting like a pound or two less than he's normally used to fighting at or weighing in at, excuse me. Now, I don't know how much he rehydrates to. Something tells me that he doesn't put on that much weight after the weigh-in.
No, and let's say that he does put on like 7 or 8 pounds of hydration weight. You know, I mean, now will he put on weight after the weigh-in? You know what I mean? I mean, if you think about Conor Ben, is he going to put on any weight after that weigh-in? Especially if he comes in under that 147 or 157, which I suspect he might.
Yeah, you know, I think Eubank Jr. wanted this fight under these conditions because he knew deep down, even though he's saying this is going to be hard, I think he really felt comfortable with these conditions. I think he knew he could fight under these conditions and not be really compromised.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's never been a big middleweight in terms of, like, he's just never a really big, heavy guy, if you think about it. You know? Never been a giant. It just doesn't look like that guy in between fights that blows up. It just doesn't look like it.
No. Kana says, I've been thinking about this all week. I can't see Ben getting past the height and reach often, though.
Yeah.
I think that's another big, big deal. This is why they have weight classes. This is why, you know, Eubank's 20 pounds north of where Ben is. I don't understand. I mean, I get the nostalgia. I get the Hatfield-McCoy thing of this whole thing. I hope I'm wrong because I am pulling for Ben. I hope Ben pulls the upset because I think he's got more of an upside now than Eubank Jr. does. This is a fight that didn't need to be made. This is a fight that if I'm managing Ben's career, there's no way I'm taking this fight. It doesn't make sense.
Eddie Hearn's trying to say that the money is just too great that it couldn't be passed up, but at what cost? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Well, I think that's the thing. Because, I mean, look at Kell Brook and Triple G. Kell Brook was never the same after that fight.
Okay, so Eubank Jr. weighed 160 on the dot in his last fight. All right, so let's look at his against Liam Williams. Yeah, and in the fight before that, he weighed 164. And the fight before that, he weighed 161. Matt Korobov, he weighed 159.25. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, this could be challenging for him. Could be challenging.
You know, and if he's fought at 159, Centurion says, Eubanks ain't a triple G, though. Well, that's true. That's very true. You know, 159 against Korobov. So he's been, so he's fought at that before. But who knows what he rehydrated to? I think that's the other thing you're missing.
Yeah.
What we're missing is we don't know what he hydrated to. All things being equal, I don't care if it's weight, another. And again, you know, when we went to the categories, I had Ben winning two of the four or whatever. The X factor just being the weight. So I think Ben is the better boxer, but he doesn't win this fight. I don't think there's any way. I don't see any way that Ben wins. And again, I hope I'm wrong. But I don't
Here's
see any way
problem.
Ben wins this fight. He's too small for Chris Eubank.
Here's my problem. I suspect strongly that Eubank can hurt Ben. I'm not sure Ben can put a dent in Eubank. You know, he's always shown to be very durable, have a great chin.
He's got a good chin.
He's gotten hit with some good shots, and he kind of deals well with getting hit. So that's the big problem for me, because he's a lot smaller, he's about 3 inches shorter, right? He's gonna be probably 8 to 10 pounds. I mean, the night of the fight, I think Eubank will probably have a 5 pound weight advantage on him. But again, it's just, you have to say to yourself, is that weight that Conor Ben's carrying, is it a functional weight, or is he just gonna be heavy for the sake of being heavy?
I don't think it could be a functional weight because he's not used to that. You know what I mean?
He may have time
to get used to that weight.
Yeah, he may be slower and sluggish in his fight.
That's what a lot of people don't realize. Well, he's moving up 10 pounds, so he's going to be stronger. He doesn't have to starve himself. I get you. But
he's sluggish.
Right. And I don't care what kind of food you eat. You're still carrying 10 pounds. You're still carrying 10 more pounds than you're used to.
I think Eubank Jr. is going to knock him out. I think he's going to stop him.
I think it's going to be a one-sided fight. I don't know if it sucks. It sucks because, like I said, Ben is such a good fighter. And if he wins this, then, hey, fair play to him and everything like that. But this is going to be a big obstacle here. And what gets me is there's no reason for this obstacle. None.
Well, here's the thing, man. Everyone's so well. Chris Eubank Jr. is no Gennady Golovkin. But
I get it.
He can punch, man. I'm going to say something very controversial. People may not want to hear this, but you can argue that Chris Eubank Jr. hits just as hard as Gennady Golovkin. He's a very powerful, explosive guy.
Sure. You absolutely.
Gennady Golovkin's never not like been that one-punch knockout guy. He's usually worn guys down and taken them out. You know, guys usually go rounds with Gennady Golovkin, right? I mean, you can look at a couple guys like Steve Rolls went four rounds, whatever. But even what's his name there? The Japanese guy that he fought. How's his name? The guy he fought before Canelo. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank here. The guy he fought in Japan. Even he went rounds with Golovkin, right? So it's not like Golovkin's blows guys out of there. But Chris Eubank Jr., we've seen him knock people out with one shot. And again,
it's just because you have power doesn't make you a better boxer. I mean, Ernie Shavers had power, wasn't a better boxer than Ali. So don't get it twisted when you say that he's got more, he could argue he's got more power than Triple G. You know, he could. But again, his boxing ability is not the same. But that doesn't mean anything. We're talking about power here. Team Batman says, but if they don't think they can win, why would Ben take it? Super risky. Why did Kell Brook take that fight?
Money, brother. People underestimate the power of money.
I mean, really, we all knew Kell Brook didn't have a shot in that fight. Got knocked down 6, got his eye damaged. Never the same after that fight. Eddie Hearn special. Threw him to the wolves.
Yeah, he did. Murata was the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah. Completely thrown to the wolves. All right. I'm taking Eubank. You're taking Eubank as well. Yeah. That's
How do you think it ends? By stoppage or what?
I tell you what, here's how I see the fight going. I think that Ben racks up some rounds early, and I think he gets clipped. I don't think Eubank I think Ben wins more rounds. I think it stops maybe mid-fight, maybe around the 6th or 7th or something like that. I think he gets clipped, he never recovers, and that's that.
So going back to what I was saying, everyone's like saying, oh, well, this Eubank Jr. is Noam Golovkin. Okay, that's fine. But once again, here's the problem. He could suffer a beating in this fight that could change the trajectory of his career. There's always that one fight that changes everything for a fighter. And you guys are underestimating Chris Eubank Jr.'s power. He's a very explosive, powerful guy. He can crack, right? He can crack. And if Ben takes a beating in this fight, it's not going to be beneficial to his career. Can he come back from it? Possibly. But if this fight turns out to be a one-sided beating, right, then you could say that he'll be damaged goods. He could be damaged goods after this fight if he takes that bad of a beat. Like, Book was never the same after that Golovkin fight. Never was the same. This could happen to Ben. Could happen to Ben.
Lil Penny brings up a good point. He says Eubank is old now too. And in ring years, I believe he is. You know, I don't know how old he is.
He's 33 years old. That's not really ridiculous.
But in ring years, he's got a lot of miles on him in ring years. But, again, I don't know. Sohail Shaheen says that Ben will not be stopped. The man will die before he's stopped in a ring. Mark my words.
Don't you want?
Yeah. Here's the thing with that. I always hear this. You hear this all the time from a lot of, like, street fighter type people. They're like, I would never tap out. You see that guy quitting there? I would never quit. Once you get put into an arm bar, trust me, you tap
out. If you want to live, most people have survival instincts. No, Eubank is 33, actually.
Eubank is 33?
If you have survival instincts, it's in your nature to want to live. So you're not going to allow yourself. No one just, like, wants to die.
Yeah.
So you're going to do whatever you can to self-preserve yourself.
Once you get put just in the beginning of that arm bar, you're going to be reaching the tap. That it's, trust me, it's, you will. It just does. It just something you do, man. It's no shame to it. It's just something that happens. All right, let's go to 917. 917, you're live. And we'll get to Robert after this.
Joe and my brother Eric, it's Maestro. How's everybody doing tonight?
Maestro, what's happening?
Well, a few things are happening, man. Number one, I'm about to eat dinner. Number two, I'm enjoying one of the best boxing podcasts out there. So great, great topic, great discussion. What I want to say is, look, you can make the argument that Eubank is no Triple G, and I think that's obviously a fair point. But who's to say that Conor Benn is Kell Brook going into that Triple G fight? Kell Brook was an undefeated welterweight world champion. They had already beaten Sean Porter going into that fight. That's not where Conor Benn is at this point in his career. Am I off in making that argument?
No, that's a great point.
No.
Right? He's very inexperienced in comparison to Kell Brook. And look, Kell Brook did obviously suffer damage in that fight that affected him going into the later part of his career, and I think that should be a concern. I mean, he's jumping up two weight classes. He's fighting a guy who can hit, who's a naturally bigger guy. And I made the mistake earlier on my own channel of saying that, you know, I 99% of the time I favored a smaller guy. I actually meant to say I favor the bigger guy. And in this case, that's Chris Eubank Jr. I don't think that they would have taken the fight in the Eubank fight. Because people are like, oh, well, why would Ben's team take the fight if they didn't think they could win? I mean, the answer to that is obvious. it's the money, it's the career high payday. And honestly, guess what? The fights at welterweight aren't exactly any easier for him, if you think about it. I mean, is Boots Innes an easier fight? Is Virgil Ortiz an easier fight? Is even Stanny Onis an easier fight? I mean, I don't know that anybody could definitively say that this dude at this point in his career beats a Budaev, you know, let alone a Stanny Onis, let alone a Boots Innes, let alone a Virgil Ortiz. So to me, this fight happened because of A, career high payday, but B, also because there are significant challenges at 147 that this allows the Ben team to avoid. I mean, I don't think he'd be favored against any of the guys I named, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think so either. You think this is probably his biggest fight? I mean, the biggest fight he can have, and like, there's no upside, like, you know, as far as like,
the payday that he will be receiving for this fight, which I've heard is about £5 million, is bigger than it would have been against pretty much any of the names that I just mentioned. And those guys are at least the same level of risk, at least. And honestly, look at it this way. If you lose to a guy who's a middleweight, who's fought as high as 168 pounds and who has a stoppage win over Yildirim and wins over other super middleweights, you can just make the argument, well, yeah, but I'm still undefeated as a welterweight. And, you know, I did my best against a bigger guy, but I lost. You can't make that argument against Stanny Onis, against Boots Innes, or against Virgil Ortiz, all three of whom would have traveled to London to take on this challenge. I don't think I'm off base saying that. And I'm favoring the bigger guy in this fight. I when there's a size disparity like this, I usually go with the bigger guy, and usually I'm correct. I think the last time I messed up on that was when I picked Herring over Shakur, which was a ridiculous pick in retrospect. I think Joe and I both had that pick wrong, if I remember correctly. But usually I favor the bigger guy. You know?
Let me ask you a question, Maestro. Do you think after this fight that Ben is just like, I mean, we think Eubank's going to win. Do you think Ben is going to be like washed after this, or do you think it's going to be, you know, like Kell Brook was pretty much done after that fight with Triple G. He was never the same after that fight. Is that where you see Ben going after this fight?
Well, I think it all depends on if Tony Sims stops the fight earlier than Ingle did. It looked like Kell Brook was suffering damage, and Ingle should have immediately stopped the fight. If I'm training Conor Ben going into this fight, I'm saying to myself, I'm not telling this to the fighter because I don't want to impact his confidence, but I'm saying to myself, the minute he starts taking one too many heavy shots, or I see something going on there that looks too dangerous, towels going in, I'm getting on the apron, I'm stopping the fight, and I will take the heat for it. And he can yell at me all he wants, but I will take the heat for stopping the fight. Because as a trainer who's supposed to have the fighter's health and safety first and foremost, that's what you should be doing, right? So if I'm his trainer, there's no way I'm allowing him to take a beating. I'm stopping the fight. That's what I'd be doing.
Makes sense. I mean, that's a good point. If, you know, knowing what we know, knowing about the fight and everything like that, you know, like I said, if he gets in any kind of heavy danger, that's it, you know, because you want 100%. This guy, especially this guy, he's got so much upside. Yeah, he's got so much upside on him, you know. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Which is a segue to the other thing I wanted to talk about tonight, even though you guys haven't talked about it. So apologies if I take this show somewhere that you didn't intend. But I think that Eddie Hearn, Matchroom, and 258 are protecting Joshua. I think that if they really wanted to fight, that fight would have been signed with Fury already. I think that they're protecting their fighter. You know, I'm more convinced that Anthony Joshua wants to fight, but the people who are trusted with protecting him, who are supposedly his employees, who are supposed to do whatever he tells them to do, they're not allowing him to go into that fight, because at this stage of his career, it's too dangerous, not necessarily even just physically, which I think it is, but also to his brand to undergo three straight dominating losses. So
yeah.
That, you know?
I think he's being talked out of taking this fight by his management team, if I'm being honest. This whole thing about the fighter wants it, but the management doesn't want it. Well, again, it's up to the fighter to tell them. Like when Canelo was told about Irislandi Lara, when Irislandi Lara went up on that podium after, I think it was after the Trout fight, if I'm not mistaken, he went up on that podium and called out Canelo. Oscar De La Hoya said that we advised him to not fight Lara, but he demanded to fight Lara and he fought Lara. So at the end of the day, I think a lot of times these fighters may want a fight, but they could easily, if they're talked out of taking a fight, then essentially they don't really want the fight if they could be persuaded to not take it. So I believe that when the fight was proposed to him, if he was just to say no, then, you know, I think maybe he said, yeah, I want it. And then I think as time went on, they tried to talk him out of taking it. And maybe he could turn around and say, well, you know, I hired my management team because I trust them to make good decisions for me, whatever. And it is what it is. But at the end of the day, a guy like Joshua, a guy like Fury, even, you know, a guy like Canelo, even though they need the promoter because the promoter has a network deal, they still have some leverage. They still have some leverage where they can go back at the promoter and demand certain fights for themselves, I think.
Yeah, 100%, Joe. And the other thing, too, is look at how they positioned it. I mean, right now they put all of the burden on the legal team, on legal things, on legal issues. So it's not even like the management team or the promotional team is saying that they don't want the fight. They're like, well, this is a legal problem. You know, it's with the lawyers. The lawyers are saying stuff is impossible. I mean, I got to kind of agree with what you're saying there, Joe.
Yeah, I think three losses in a row. I don't care how much money he's going to make in this fight. It's going to be a big blow to the career, in my opinion.
100%. And the last thing I'll say on the Ben and Eubank thing is, thank God they didn't put this on pay-per-view, because I was half expecting Zone to do the paywall situation again. And I'm sorry for all of the brothers and sisters that live out there in the UK that are having to pay, I think, £30, which is pretty high for a pay-per-view in the UK. Not necessarily for us, but I'm glad that they're not putting it behind the paywall, the Zone, that is. So I'll leave it at that, guys.
You guys have
You guys have a good rest of your show. I'll stay listening, and everybody, you know, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and consider the Ringside Reporter membership. You guys take care.
Oh, thank you so much, Maestro. We appreciate it, man. Thank you. Good stuff from Maestro. He's got a when does Maestro do his show?
He's been doing his show now on Sunday mornings.
Sunday morning.
So,
tune in to Maestro, man, because he's got some of the best boxing content you're going to see on YouTube. And we have a link to him on our page, don't we? I think we do. Yeah,
yes,
we have a link
to
him on his page, so go and subscribe to him and everything like that. Robert 530, you're live.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good,
what's
how are
up,
you?
How you been, man?
Oh, what was that, Joe?
Why is he giving you the business already, Robert? Why
is
he giving you the business already?
Look, what's
up to him?
Yeah. This is one fight I wish was not happening. Because Conor Benn, like you said, Eric, has got a bright future. And I know money is a big deal, but they have weight classes for a reason. And I don't see a good outcome for him. I think Eubank wins this all day. They have weight classes for a reason, and I don't think this is going to turn out well. So,
well, let me ask you this. So you care about Conor Benn, but you didn't care about Triple G. Well, wishing Triple G got hurt.
There's a big difference.
Conor Benn. You know, What are you and Connor Ben? There's talk on Twitter or something? Here, you have like a function? Why? Oh, there's a big difference. Why? Why is there a big difference?
Did
you lost
like,
money on Triple G?
No. Joe, there's 15 years in age for one thing. There's 15 years age difference in one thing. Triple G has been a lot more fights than Connor Ben has.
Because he's old.
And Connor Ben has a brighter future than Triple G does at this stage of his career. There's a big difference. And if I was in his management team, I would not have accepted
him. Shoot him in the legs like you would a horse or something?
I'm not going to argue. I am not going to play the argument game.
Hey, Robert's been smart. He's been studying you, Beeb.
If you didn't have double standards, you wouldn't have any standards at all. You know that, Robert?
I'm not going to play the argument game with you.
Yeah, take your L like a man. Go ahead and take your L.
Robert, do you see a lot of parallels between this fight and Triple G and Kell Brook?
Yeah, I do. But thank you, Maestro. You brought up an excellent point. When Kell Brook took that Triple G fight, he was already an established welterweight champion. And he basically jumped up to save Eddie Hearn's butt. Otherwise, he would have had to cancel that card entirely. Connor Benn is being sacrificed by Eddie Hearn and the people that supposedly care about him for money here. Connor Benn has got a bright future at 147. Would he beat any of those guys that Maestro mentioned right now? No, but they would be competitive fights, and they would be in his same weight class. There is no reason why he had to take this fight, none whatsoever.
Simeon asked a good question, and something we addressed earlier, what happens if Eubank misses the catch weight? Somebody said that there's a 100,000 pounds per pound if Eubank goes in over there, or I guess the hydration or whatever. But I'm wondering, you know, it depends on how much he comes in overweight. I think that's going to be a bigger issue is how much he comes in. It's 1 pound, 2 pounds. You know, if it's 3 or 4, you might have a problem there. I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen fighters pull out beforehand when they said, listen, he weighs too much. I'm not fighting him. We've seen it happen.
Yeah, he reserves that right to pull out of the fight if he feels he doesn't want to fight him if he's over the weight.
And remember one thing, guys. Depending on what time the weigh-in occurs on that day. Now, I heard somebody say 9 a.m., and I heard somebody say noon. Remember, most UK cards, UK time, at least the TV portions, normally start at 7 o'clock. That's 2 o'clock for the East Coast. So it depends on what they've scheduled, you know, how late in the day have they scheduled the weigh-in on that day.
I was just about to say that, yeah. So if it is, I mean, there's no way that weigh-in could be at noon in the UK, right? Because they typically have their fights, like you said. Go ahead.
The rehydration I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, there's no way they're going to have it at noon, the rehydration.
I'll have to find out.
It has to be in the morning. That's when they usually do it, is in the morning. The morning of.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
You know,
it's little penny. It's not 1 million per pound. So come on.
Can you imagine?
Stop, please.
Also, a couple of other things before I get out of here. Eric, the fight from Carson, California, that'll be a Showtime card on Saturday. And also on October 15th, not only does ESPN have the two cards, but that's also the same day the Deontay Wilder and Robert Hellenius fight.
Oh, that's the pay-per-view. That's the pay-per-view one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all on the same day.
Who's the other ESPN card? It's Haney and Kambosos. That's it,
and
right?
Then you have the card in London. You have the card in London with all the girls earlier in the day, and then you have the Australian card. Yes, I do.
You count that one?
Yes, I do.
Come on, Eric.
And if you want to add more to that, DAZN also has a card from Australia on the same day.
Yeah, but who was fighting on that one?
I don't remember the name.
I didn't even
but,
see that one listed.
They did advertise that last week when I was watching.
Why are you going to talk about a card that you don't even know who's fighting? Why even bring it up?
Yeah, I didn't even see it listed on there. That's how good those fights must be.
Well,
They might have
canceled that one. I don't know, but Deontay Wilder is fighting on that same day.
Of another phantom card by Robbie.
Are you going to watch that chick fight, the girl card or whatever?
I'm going to watch all the fights if time permits.
You'll watch them too, Eric, so stop front.
I'm not watching them. I'm not watching that fight. No, all
right, guys. See you later.
All right, Robert.
Let me ask you this, Eric. What fight is better to you, Clarissa Shields versus Savannah Marshall?
The other one.
Or the Haney versus Kamposis in the rematch?
I'm going to watch Haney versus Kamposis. I'm going to watch that fight. I'm not watching the other one. It's not a big fan, man. It's nothing against the chicks, man. It's just I'm not a big fan of women boxing. I like women's soccer. Watch that all the time. I'm just not a big fan of the women's boxing, man. It's just something new for me. You know what I mean?
You like women's MMA?
Yeah, I do like women's MMA.
What is it you don't like about women's boxing? Is it just the 2-minute rounds?
Yep. I think that's a big part of it. I really do think that's a big part of it because they treat the girls in MMA just like they do the men.
Okay.
They treat them all the same. You don't see them, and very rarely, you know, I don't know what they do on Instagram or whatever, but they don't ever, like, you know. But, like, no, I'll tell you this, though. I'll tell you this. What's that one broad's name? The real hot one. Yeah. So she was over there hanging out with porn stars this weekend. How do I know this? Because it was on Twitter. And she was like, this is my best friend from the porn world or whatever. And then she had her picture with her and some porno star or something like that. Dude, like, come on. What are you trying to accomplish here? You're not that great of a boxer. You're only getting this chance because you're hot. Fine. Go find something else to do. Go on OnlyFans. They'll accept you there.
You know, it's funny with her. She likes to use her sexuality to get attention when it benefits her. But she doesn't want to deal with the other side of it. You know, when you are putting yourself out there, right, being ostentatious out there, right?
Right.
Of course people are going to look at you like you're a sex object. So when people look at you as a sex object,
right,
don't get mad about it.
No.
Because that's the response that you should expect to get.
When I don't take you seriously, now, when you're boxing as opposed to, you know, being on movies and stuff, what do you want me to do? That's your fault, not mine.
Here's the problem with women. And I'm going to say this.
No. I'm going to step back from this one because I think you might be going too far here.
This is the problem with women, right?
They
think there's something special when men give them attention, right? But you have to step back and ask yourself, why are these men giving you attention? Is it because they want to put a ring on your finger? Is it because they want to take you home and have you meet their parents and their families? Or do they just want to give you the you-know-what? Okay? That's what we do. We're wired to want to, you know, have a lot of fun with women. We want to have a lot of bedroom fun.
With women, right? It's a family show. What are you doing?
That's what we're wired to do. So when you got a girl who's soaking up all this attention from a lot of thirsty dudes, thinking that these guys really put value in her, no. You know what it is?
Putting value
in her. They just want to have bedroom fun with you. And after they have the bedroom fun with you a couple times, they'll move on to someone else. That's just the way it is. People don't want to hear the truth. But guess what? Guess what? Feed gives you the uncomfortable truths.
He gives it to you.
Even you don't want to hear it, but I have to bring it to you too, man.
Right?
I gotta give you the uncomfortable.
Got my headphones in. I don't want to listen to this, but you're right. This is, you know.
Am I right here?
Stop thinking you're Andrew Tate.
This is bigger than Andrew Tate.
Oh, stop.
Really. This is bigger than one person. This is about humanity. This is manhood. Now, Michael Dodd was living in this world where men are being emasculated every second, right? We're called toxic masculinity is the new term they use for us. You're buying into that. That's what you're buying into that. These are uncomfortable truths.
Eve gives you the uncomfortable truth and the show gets canceled.
people like you, sir, who made that very ignorant comment, right? You don't like the messenger, so automatically you discredit the message. This is bigger than Andrew Tate. These things have been going. This is the reality of the world, even before Andrew Tate was even born. I'm 53 years old. Andrew Tate's 35. I knew all this stuff, even before Andrew Tate.
Known it forever.
I lived it. I'm living proof of the reality. Let's see, sir.
Oh, boy. 804, you're live. How do you follow that?
I can't follow that, man. Too much knowledge.
It's Corey.
Does he have to fucking drive through?
Probably. He's probably ordering burgers or something. All right, we're going to move on.
Now he's going
to
say,
give me a chance to answer. You didn't give me a chance to answer. I tried. You didn't give me a chance. All right, let's go with the news and rumors, man. We're going to piggyback off of what Maestro said earlier here. Earlier this week, Tyson Fury took to social media to claim that he's done waiting for Anthony Joshua and will now face Manuel Char. Frank Warren said they are still working on the deal. Fury then comes back and says he will wait for Joshua. Less than 24 hours later, he said he's moved on. Is anybody else getting tired of Tyson Fury? Beeb, I'm done with him.
Yeah, here's my problem. Now, by him calling out Joshua right now, under the circumstances with Joshua coming off of two losses, fighting in September, the fact that they're bringing Joshua back in December after a tough fight like this, it's a head scratcher for me. I think he should probably come back next year, maybe in April or March or April or something like that. Give the guy some time off. Usyk's taking time off. He should take time off. That's number one. Number two, this is the same deal that Team Fury is offering Joshua. If the rules were reversed, Fury would never accept the deal. After the fight with Wilder, the first one, instead of having an immediate rematch, what's he do? He fights Tom Schwartz and Otto Wallen or something like that, and then he goes and fights Wilder in the rematch. So you're expecting this. This is one of my pet peeves, and I'm always been big on this. Do not hold people to a standard that you would not hold on to yourself, right? Don't set standards for other people. So again, you know, I think the problem here is by them agreeing, like Team Joshua agreeing to everything in principle or whatever. Right when they did that, now the onus is on them, right? If they've had the contract for 10 days, if they didn't go over everything and dot up the contract with what they wanted.
But you know what? You're blaming Anthony Joshua for this. His people have already said they're working on it. Frank Warren has come out and said they're working on it. We're going back and forth with Matchroom.
I understand that, but what I'm starting to get the sense of right now is, are they stalling it out so they could kind of find a way to just not accept? I think initially Joshua wanted to fight. And now, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, I think his team and I think Eddie Hearn are trying to talk him out of taking it.
Well, if Frank Warren isn't in a hurry for this.
No, he's mad. You didn't see the last interview. He was on Talk Sport on Friday. And he was complaining, like, okay, they've had the contract for 10 days. Send us back the contract we sent you with, the amendments to it that you want. Like, tell us what you want. He hasn't gotten the contract back yet.
So now he's a little bit upset. You have, I mean, there's got to be some type of deadline here. That like, if you're going to fight December 3rd, there's got to be a deadline. You know what I mean? You have the contract
for
10 days.
For sure.
Figure it out.
But who made the deadline? Tyson Fury is the one messing this up.
Oh, yeah.
Taking it into public, negotiating online, and all this other stuff.
Yeah, that's all clown. That's all clown world.
Right.
I get that.
I don't think go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
I don't think it's a bad fight for Joshua. I really don't. It's the biggest fight right now that can be made in the heavyweight division by far.
My whole thing is, if I'm managing Joshua, do I believe he can win the fight?
No, I don't know.
I don't think it's a
complete mismatch. I'll tell you this. It's not a complete mismatch. I would favor Tyson Fury. This ain't a complete mismatch, though.
So
not at all.
Do you think Joshua matches up better with Fury than he did Usyk?
I don't know. I don't know if he does or not. It's tough. I think it's maybe six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Because both of them got boxing, both of them got really good boxing skills, both Usyk and Fury. However, Fury's a lot bigger.
I'm going to put my management hat on here. And if I'm as a fan, I'd love to fight.
Yeah, for
sign
sure.
Sign me up. I'm going to put my management hat. I'm going to be 258, and I'm going to be Eddie Hearn right now. I'm probably telling him, don't take this fight right now.
But why
don't
not,
take
though? I mean, how much is he going to pull down? How much is he going to pull down for that fight? Tons, right? Tons. If he loses the fight, he goes on a three-fight skid. If he wants to retire after that, he's going to retire. If he doesn't, get him a cupcake. Get him a soft touch in there. Just like what you're going to do now. What are you going to put him back in with, Chisora or Dillian White or something that we've already seen? What's the difference if he loses next time or this time?
Well, because if you're Eddie Hearn, you know, you and Joshua have a deal with DAZN, right? And what are you going to do? Like, is Joshua's career salvageable after three losses in a row? That's what you have to look at. And the people who were in the Joshua business,
Wilder's career is salvageable after three losses. You know, and you can say he only has two. Yeah, you could say he only has two. He lost that first fight, and he lost it pretty convincingly. He lost that first fight. So I say he's got three straight. And now he's fighting Hellenius.
On the books,
he's
it was a draw.
Name.
He is a name.
It was, but he's a name. That's why he's able to garner money when he comes back.
Let's look at history. Have we ever seen someone come back after three losses in a row?
And be productive? Maybe not.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe. I just think from a business standpoint, people who are in charge of Joshua's career are saying to themselves, two losses in a row, okay, but three, it's going to be a dent. It's gonna really hurt the career.
It doesn't matter because he's got a contract. He's got a contract with DAZN, no?
Yeah. They have to honor the contract.
Sure.
I understand that, but they're saying to themselves, is it going to be beneficial for us moving forward trying to market a guy with three losses in a row? How do we salvage this?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I hear you.
That's all.
And you know what? I hear you, and you may be right. If you got the management hat on, you're probably right.
Let's try to be objective here now. If you're on the management side of things, would you advise him to take this fight? No. Right now, under these conditions, you just fought in September in a tough fight. He showed signs of, you know, mental instability, whatever. He was burnt, already complained about being tired, burnt out, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And now you're turning him around, giving him potentially an even tougher fight than he just had after coming off of two losses. Is this beneficial for a fighter under these circumstances? If you're on the management team, what do you do? Do you advise him to take this fight at this point in time if you're on the management team? If you feel like
I think it depends on the numbers. what numbers are you going to do with the Tyson Fury fight versus if you don't take the Tyson Fury fight, who do you fight instead? What are the numbers for that fight? If they're comparable, no. But you got to look at the number. I think it all boils down to basic, you know, math. It's going to boil down to the dollars. That's the bottom line. That's what it always boils down to.
He's not going to make more money in this fight than he got in the Usyk fight because there's no Saudi money. This is going to be in the UK. I'm sure it's going to be a lucrative fight.
Huge money, yeah. I mean, he's getting a lot of money for that, I would imagine.
Do you think he'll make more money in this fight than he made in the Usyk fight, given that Saudi money? Because they're saying, again, because of what Saudi paid for that fight, I don't know how accurate these numbers are. These are the numbers that are being thrown out there. Again, I don't know how accurate they're saying he made like $75 million for the Usyk fight.
It's insane, right? I mean, it's insane.
So is he getting $75 million for this fight?
The worst part is this, where does Usyk go in all this? I mean,
well, he's going to fight. He'll fight Fury after, you know, in the spring.
Maybe.
That's
That's what they're saying. Yeah, who knows with Tyson Fury? Who knows?
You don't know.
He's completely unstable.
But if I'm, again, I just think that initially Joshua wanted to fight, and now after thinking about it, I think his management team is trying to talk him out of it. That's just my opinion.
I think AJ wants the fight, but I think the management is what gets him all sideways.
I think and he's going to, and you could sit there and say AJ is the boss, but as you said before, they hire these guys for a reason. Why are you going to pay these guys if you're not going to listen to them?
That's what they'll say. Hey, you hired us to look after you. Let us look after you. You hired us to manage your career. We've got you to this point. Trust us.
Yeah.
You know, you got here because you trust us. That's
but I agree with you. I'm the biggest Tyson Fury fan of all time.
Yeah.
But I'm not laughing anymore.
It's becoming
cumbersome. It's becoming
right.
Tedious. It's not funny anymore.
No.
You know?
It's not. It's not productive. It's not funny.
You're gonna sit there and call AJ a coward when he just fought this guy Usyk back to back when he didn't have to.
Right.
And you could say, oh, we did it for the money, but again, Joshua could fight a fucking mannequin and make fucking millions of dollars. It doesn't matter. The guy's marketable.
Joshua has the best resume in the heavyweight division. Case closed. Full stop. Period.
Most consistent. Yeah, I would say he's been the most consistent. I would agree.
For sure. He fights. His resume is better than anybody's out there right now. No question.
I like Fury's biggest wins better than Joshua's biggest wins.
Agreed.
But it's only been against
Wilder.
And Klitschko. But
okay.
In terms of
you're right.
But in terms of consistency, I have to agree with you. Joshua's been more consistent. He's never been in a position where he's allowed himself to get stripped of a title. He fought every mandatory, which is a rarity today in boxing. A lot of times, once someone gets unifies titles, they become fractured very quickly.
Yeah.
We've seen that. And Joshua fought everyone. He didn't have to fight Usyk, but his goal was, I do believe Joshua when he said he wanted to become undisputed. I don't believe Wilder, and I don't believe a lot of other fighters that say they wanted to become undisputed because their actions show me otherwise. But Joshua, if he didn't want to become undisputed, then he wouldn't have fought all these mandatories and he would have just said, strip me, go ahead.
Let's go down this rabbit hole because this has been talked about for a little bit now because Wilder made mention of this. Do you think Wilder gets in the Hall of Fame? And if Wilder has done enough to get in the Hall of Fame, do you think Joshua deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think they're both going to get in the Hall of Fame, and it's a very controversial topic for me to say yes, and I'll tell you why, because this is a problem that people make, in my opinion. You judge a lot of times what people like to do is they try to compare all the errors. They take all the errors and mishmash them together. And what I do is I look at the era that the fighter is in. You can criticize Wilder's resume all you want. He's got some decent names on there. Outside of Fury, there's no great names on that resume. But the amount of title defenses he has made, right? You can argue that those guys weren't great fighters, but they were good fighters. They were solid fighters. They were top 10 ranked fighters.
They were good fighters.
If you want to compare them to the heavyweights of the 90s and the 70s, okay, that's fine. But
you can't do that.
It's not fair to do that. I've said this, and I've continued to say this, and I will beat this nail into the ground until the cows come home. This is not the heavyweight era of the 90s or the 70s. So you got to deal with what we have in front of us. Klitschko wasn't in the greatest of era either, but everyone was like, oh, Klitschko,
can
right?
Do what you can do.
Well, he can do, only can do what you do in your era. So based off of what Wilder and Joshua have done in their era, Wilder did make a lot of title defenses. He was the longest reigning heavyweight champion of his era, right, after Klitschko walked away. So based off of that, you can make a strong – I would vote him in based off of his – based off of the era he was in. AJ, you know, he unified three – like actually four of the titles if you want to count the IBO. But, you know, he was another guy who fought all his mandatories. He was, you know, he was the one guy who was unified, whereas all the other heavyweights only had one belt, where he had three – yeah, actually had – three of the major belts and the IBO as well. So based off of that, I would say, yeah, I would vote them both in based off of what they've done in their era.
I agree with
and
that.
And that's how I do it. That's how I do it.
I agree with that. I think they both, you know, 10 title defenses, I don't care who he fought, 10 title defenses is 10 title defenses,
yeah.
Man.
And they weren't horrible fighters. They were good fighters.
Anybody at that level, if you're getting a title shot, he can fight. There's levels to all of this, man. You have to be, and if you get ranked in that top five group, you got to be good. They're all good. There's levels, but they're all good.
If you go on BoxRec, there's roughly 1,800 registered heavyweight boxers in the world.
Yeah.
Now, in any facet of life, if someone says you're in the top 10, not even top 10, you're in the top five, of 1,800 boxers, then you're something. Like when you graduate in college and you're in the top 10% or top 5th percentile of your class, do they say to you, "Oh yeah, that's great," but look at the class that so and so was in 5 years? No, they don't do that in any other. You can only be, you know, compared to your contemporaries. That's it.
That's all.
That's all you can be. That's all you can be compared to. So to sit there and try to compare him to the other eras, you could argue Larry Holmes wasn't in the best of eras, right? Because he came after Ali, right? Who do you get his title off of Ken Norton, who was almost 40 years old at the time? And I'm not trying to diminish Larry Holmes, but you could play that game with a lot of fighters.
Right.
You want to nitpick and try to diminish what they've accomplished.
Right.
Very easy to do that.
It's better to view their accomplishments versus diminish them. I mean, it really is.
I mean, and we are gonna compare eras, and that's just. But once again, that is all subjective. What is objective here is what they've done.
Yeah.
It's in the record books what they've done. We can't say that Wilder did not make 10 title defenses. We can't take that away from him, right? We could try to diminish it.
Yeah.
But objectively, he made those title defenses.
They were all good fighters. They were all good fighters.
Joshua unified those titles and fought every mandatory.
Yeah. Bottom line it, man. Let's switch gears here. Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis get into it at a club. Apparently, Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis were at the same nightclub. Garcia approached Davis and said, "When are we going to fight?" Which, you know, it's always a good way to approach somebody. You know, at a bar, and then, you know, hey, when are we going to fight? You know, the two started jawing, and a Tank allegedly put his hands on Garcia's necklace. The two were broken up. Now if we could just get these guys in the ring, Beebe, is that going to happen? That's never going to happen, right?
Yeah.
De La Hoya, do you put him in there with Tank? And vice versa? Tank's handlers are, I mean, they're not going to put him in there with him. Neither guy, I mean, both guys are willing to fight, both managers, both handlers, they're not.
No.
They're not doing that.
If I'm going to put my manager hat back on again.
Yeah.
And if I'm Ryan Garcia's manager, and I'm looking at Tank, and I'm saying, wow, this guy just lost rounds to Romero. He's losing rounds to Mario Barrios, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's getting up there in age. He didn't look great against Isak Cruz. If I'm Ryan Garcia, no. Right, I'm sitting there saying, yeah, I want to fight this guy. I think we can win this fight. Now, on the flip side of that, if I'm Tank Davis, this is what I'm saying.
okay, this guy went up to 140. He's agreed to fight us at 135. So obviously, that he'll be at a weight disadvantage if he has to come down. We can weaken him to come down to 135.
Right.
He's already agreed to that. This is what I'm saying, right? And I'm saying, well, this guy keeps his chin way up in the air. This guy closes his eyes when he throws punches. If this guy's closing his eyes and putting his chin up in the air, we can knock this guy out. So both sides have to be saying to themselves, this is a winnable fight for each of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a no-fucking-brainer. This is a no-brainer. The stars have aligned just right. This is a perfect setting to make this fight.
Do you think it happens?
No.
I don't either.
Because what does boxing do? They take a situation where the stars align perfectly, right? And what do? They throw a fucking monkey wrench in it. They take the fucking telescope that's looking at all those stars, and what do? They fucking break it in half, and then it's all fucking shot to shit.
Right.
And they can't see that the stars have aligned properly, because why? They don't want to fucking see what's 2 feet in front of them. You know, so once again, this is the promoters putting themselves before the fighters. When you hear a promoter say, quote unquote, this came out of Floyd Mayweather's mouth, right? Quote unquote. Well, why would we want to make another promoter rich when we can fight in house and not have to share the money with these guys? So you're concerned about. Dude, you've made hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not telling you to take an L here, no. But what about making your fighter money? Isn't that what it was all about? Isn't that what the mission statement was from Jump Street? But you're coming out. This is why the stupidity of Mayweather. Every time he opens his mouth, he reveals his ignorance. Why do we want to make another promoter rich? No. That's not the fucking objective. The objective is to make you a fighter rich. You name me one fight out there that's bigger than a Garcia fight monetarily for Tank Davis. Name me one.
There's not.
There's none. So because you have to divide you don't have to divide anything, really. You pay your fighter, let Golden Boy pay his. That's it. But this is all about ego. This is all about fucking narcissism. This is all about we're not gonna work with this guy. We're not gonna help them out.
Both guys want to fight each other. That's the thing. Both guys want to fight each other. You know?
Yeah.
Insane. Speaking of Mayweather has already lined up another fight against a YouTuber, of course, named Deji. Do you know anything about this guy? Deji is supposed to be like KSI's brother or something like
KSI's
that. Cousin, gotcha. Whatever. This fight will take place in Dubai on November 13th. I know he's strapped, but he needs to start doing like endorsements or something, man. Something away from fighting. He doesn't look good. I don't know if you've seen him or not. He does not look good. He's a complete shell of what he used to be. I mean, this guy, you know, you've seen him in these exhibitions. He's a shot fighter. And I don't care what son, he's a shot fighter, right? And anytime he gets in there, it's going to be dangerous because you can get hit with any, you know what I mean? You can get hit and you can get put out. It's just not good for him.
It's embarrassing, man, if I'm being honest.
But Floyd says that he doesn't need the money, all right? The UK Mirror, I saw this in the UK Mirror, and there's actually a couple of other sites that reported that Floyd stated that he makes, Beeb, $300 million a month. Of course he makes $300 million a month. What is that, $3.6 billion or something like that a year?
Can I ask you a question?
$300 million, Beeb, absolutely.
Can I ask you a question? How much does Warren Buffett make a month?
That I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
How much does Bill Gates make a month? You probably don't know, right?
I don't know, no.
Why do you not know? Because they don't fucking tell you every fucking day, every month, every minute, every year how much they make. You know why? Because people with money don't tell you they have fucking money.
People who get pussy don't tell you they get pussy. They just fucking bang chick. That's why. If anyone can't see through this facade, then guess what? You're not looking hard enough. Full of shit. This guy's got no liquidity at all. Yeah, he's got assets. But we don't even know if he owns what he's fucking showing us on Instagram. He could be renting it. He could be leasing it. Like these rappers who fucking wear this, who wear rented jewelry, who drive around in fucking rented cars. They rent a Lambo or a Bugatti for a fucking day or two. Hey, man, I'm fucking rolling, baby. The fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here, man. This dude is faker than a $3 bill. He's full of shit. And I love him as a fighter, as a man. There's a lot to be desired about this guy. He's not a likable guy, bro. He's just not a likable guy. I think he's
ironically enough, I did look up Bill Gates' salary. He makes $330 million a month. His salary is like $4 billion
a year. He didn't tell you that, though, did he? He wasn't on Instagram telling you that, right?
Wouldn't it be funny if he's just like, if he just started doing a Floyd and, like, you know, you see him in a bathtub full of money or something like that, Bill Gates.
And then you know what the stupid thing is? You see, all these people are out here getting shot, killed, and robbed because of, you know, showing off what they have and stuff like that. And this goofball is walking around with fucking chains and wearing all this jewelry out. And, you know, he's got security. Yeah, but his security just got knocked out, bro. You don't think there's a bigger, badder dude out there that's going to fucking walk through your security one day and just fucking rob you for everything you got on?
Yeah, right.
You want to say, keep bragging, keep flossing. You're 44 years old and you're walking around with these watches and shit and these chains and shit. You don't think someone's going to – and then how many times has his house been broken into and stolen? You don't think that's an inside job? Keep fucking bragging and shit and walking down the street throwing $100 bills up in the fucking air and thinking it's not going to come back, man.
Moron.
Thinking it's not going to come back to haunt you, man.
Complete
stupidity, bro.
Moron. Complete
grown
moron.
Men fucking acting like fucking 18-year-olds, bro.
It's insane.
Stupid.
Some sad news to report. Antonio Inoki passed away this week. Inoki was 79. You may remember him from fighting Ali in 76. He was a Japanese pro wrestler. Big over there. Huge guy over there. And he fought Ali in like an exhibition back in 76. Unfortunately, he passed away. Not good. Let's see here. Spence versus Crawford update, Beeb. I got the scoop. What are you shaking your head for? What's the matter with you? I got the scoop, Beeb. Saw an interview. Mike Cappinger was talking to Max Kellerman and said that the fight may be pushed back because of Al Haymon. The theory is that Al Haymon doesn't want the fight to happen. Something convoluted, like Crawford is working off a straight gate, not the pay-per-view, and he wants transparency for the expenses and revenue, and they were refusing to show that to him. I don't know. It was a very convoluted excuse, like Crawford is getting like a straight payday for this, like what they make at the gate or what they, but he's not getting any of the revenue from pay-per-view. It all seemed very convoluted, very Cappinger thing to say, very convoluted. But, Cappinger reported a couple weeks ago it was close. They had it. It was right there. It's within the grasp, but now it's gone. Beeb, is this fight ever going to happen?
I think the fight happens in beginning of next year, January or February.
Really?
They're going to fix it.
Wow.
They're going to fix it.
All right. See you here. 805, you're live.
Beeb, I can't believe you literally just went on your rant right now. That shit was hilarious. I always like when you go off on your little rants there about Floyd trying to pretend that he's got all this money. No, I think everything you said was right, especially the part about when you're a billionaire, you don't have to tell people you're a billionaire. Like, I don't know who does that.
Right.
Seriously. Yeah. So I think that's just a dead giveaway right there that he's really not as flush as he makes it seem. But hey, if his fans want to believe every word that comes out of his mouth, good for them. It doesn't mean that the rest of us are buying his bullshit. So, you know, it is what it is. There was one thing you guys were talking about Fury and Joshua and Wilder possibly being Hall of Fame candidates. I think both guys eventually would get in, but they're not going to be first ballot. I think it would be a few years before both guys got in. I just don't see the writers voting them in the very first year that they get in, or even the second year that they're on the ballot. I could see both of them.
Who would
being
they take instead?
Three.
But
I mean,
but
there's
not,
a bunch
but,
of.
But
there's
not,
always fighters on there, Eric,
but not
that sure. They don't always pick right away.
Yeah. But Nacho,
you know,
you have to look at the
yeah.
You have to look at the time. You have to look at the time when they do retire. Who is going to be in their class? That's the thing, because they're going to be Spence, Crawford, and them guys may not be in their class. So they may be like when they all retire, they'll probably retire about the same time. They may be on the same ballot like Joshua Wilder, Gary, and all these guys. Who else is going to be on that ballot where they're going to be passed over is what I'm trying to say. Because if you look at it, right,
mm-hmm.
when they retire and then 5 years later you look at it, who's going to be on the ballot with them at the time that they're going to be eligible? That's what I'm trying to say. Based off of that, they could possibly get in first ballot if you think about it.
Possible, but then I could also see writers – electing other fighters who've been waiting before they select
who,
them.
Who are
That's
those
all
other
I'm saying.
Fighters going to be at the time? Who are those other fighters
well,
going to be at the time?
For example, there's guys like Nigel Benn, and then there's, you know, somebody like I don't think Chris Eubank has gotten in.
Look at their class. The class that they're going to be on the ballot with. Is not there's no one really above them right now. Like if you think about what their class like, look at the guys in boxing that are on their way out that are going to be retiring soon. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Crawford will be on their ballot. Maybe not, because he may hang on a little bit longer than them. But let's argue Crawford will be there. Spence may not be. Who's going to be on the ballot with them where they're going to be pushed aside? I don't think that it's going to be an overwhelmingly strong ballot that they're going to be on where they may get passed over is what I'm trying to say. That's just my opinion, obviously. But that's
okay.
How I,
yeah. No. I mean, when you put it like that,
because,
okay. I could definitely see them getting in. You know. So, I mean, I was just saying because there have been other guys who have been made to wait. So
I just don't think that the ballot that they're going to be on where it's going to make them have to wait.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. And then just real quick, because there wasn't really anything going on this weekend, you guys were talking about Davis and Garcia. That fight's never going to happen. Huh?
You don't think Davis and Tank aren't going to happen?
No, I don't think Davis and Garcia happens, Eric. And the reason I say this is because if they wanted it to happen, they could have already made it happen by now. I mean, why would you let Garcia get better as time goes along? Like, to me right now, Tank Davis is at his peak right now. If I'm Mayweather, I make the fight right now because he's going to face a Garcia who's not at his peak. But the fact that they're so reluctant to even make it right now just tells me they're never going to make that fight. I can't see it. Like, it should have already happened by now. I just think Mayweather's going out of his way to protect Tank as much as he can before he finally decides that maybe at some point he'll cash him out. But
have to be punished for Mayweather's beefs. That's the question you have to ask yourself. Why does the fighter have to be punished for the promoter's beefs?
Well, you know what?
Not the fighter's fucking fault. You and De La Hoya don't like each other.
No, I disagree 100%. Tank's now got to pay for this. You know why? Because he had a chance to leave. He had a chance to let go. And he chose to stay in-house.
What I'm saying is, why is the promoter punishing him? Why is the promoter punishing him for their
at
beef.
This point. Because, but you know what? At this point,
beef,
that's all out the window.
4 or 5 years
because
ago,
he had
4 or 5 years ago,
leave.
I would have agreed with you, but not now.
Yep.
I agree with Eric.
Nope.
I think he had a chance to go somewhere else and sign with another promoter and get in the mix with other fighters. And like Eric said, he chose to stay. He was convinced to stay. So at this point, I'm not giving Tank a pass. Tank had his opportunity to walk away and take control of his career, and he chose not to. He chose to still play ball with Mayweather and the PBC. So you get what you deserve, basically, you know? That's just the way I look at it.
And he could have even left Mayweather Promotions and still been involved with the PBC. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a package deal over there. He didn't do that even. He just kept where he was.
But once again, these fighters are incentivized to not take tough fights if they're getting 7 figures to fight anybody.
And I wouldn't do it either if I were them. I wouldn't.
If they're not being incentivized to fight tough
fights. But you can't reward that kind of behavior either. I mean, like us as fans, we could say, yeah, we wouldn't do that. But us as fans, we want to see the fights. I'm not paying $80 for Helenius and Wilder. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah. That's the thing is where you know, something has to give where there's some pushback where fans, and not only the fans but the networks decide, hey, we're not gonna put these fights on if they're not marketable fights that people want.
Yeah. Especially with the PBC, like how the hell do these guys keep putting on so many fights on pay-per-view when they know they're not selling enough to cover them? And they're still taking losses. Like, it's crazy that they keep doing that.
We don't know that. I mean, we don't know
that. They're not really taking losses because they're not guaranteeing the fighters substantial purses up front. So what's happening is Showtime doesn't have the budget to buy the rights fees to put these fights on regular Showtime. So when they put it on pay-per-view, Showtime gets the 10% distribution fee if they're using Showtime pay-per-view. And they don't have to put much into the production cost. They don't have to guarantee them a purse. They don't have to pay the rights fees for the fight. So basically their revenue is dependent upon the pay-per-view buys. So if they do 200,000 pay-per-view buys at 80 a pop, then they can cover the, you know, $1 million guarantee or $2 million guarantee for Tank and a $300,000 to $500,000 salary for his opponent. So that's the thing. Now, the reason why they do that is because when you put a fight on pay-per-view, the broadcaster, which is Showtime or Fox, they don't have to pay for the rights fees of the fight, and they don't have to pay for the production cost of the fight. Really, right? So, it's a better deal for the network. And you ask yourself, why are all these fights on pay-per-view? If they're not on pay-per-view, then they're not going to be broadcast at all. They're not going to happen because, again, if they're not getting the dates by Fox and Showtime, if Showtime and Fox aren't going to pay the rights fees for the fight and give them the date, then they have no choice but to put them on pay-per-view.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm.
That's what sucks.
Okay.
That's why.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get rolling here.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much for your call.
Right.
We appreciate it. Yeah, I agree with that, B. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, nobody really knows the pay-per-view numbers, but at the same time, listen, they're not going to just continually lose money. They're business guys. They know what Al Haymon knows exactly what he's doing.
These guys aren't getting $30 million guarantees.
No.
that's why.
It's right.
Worth.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, $80 a pop. If you sell 200,000 pay-per-view buys, that's $16 million. That's a good chunk of change, brother.
Well, then you got to split that with the cable companies and satellite companies. Because what do we say? We got cut in half.
They get 40%. The cable companies get 40%.
Yeah.
The distributor gets 10, and they're left with 50.
There you go.
No, it's not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.